The North American rail community and transit organizations have really embedding sustainability for quite some time, looking to reduce their carbon footprint. And I think, part of the game changers, there's more transparency now, more accountability as far as, stakeholders, the investment community, a lot of drivers there. So, the future is really embedding sustainability and resiliency into every aspect of how rail companies do business. And it's exciting that, with AREMA's mission, as far as recommending practices pertaining to, design, construction, and maintenance way that, this is a great forum to address it. And I think, really having the Sustainability Resiliency Summit, the first one, AREMA sponsoring, is a great way to showcase some of those successes.
You may know the American Railway Engineering and Maintenance of Way Association, or AREMA, as the quote keepers of the manuals. You may know them as the quote people behind the largest annual railroad conference in North America. Heck, you may not know about AREMA at all. This podcast is designed, no pun intended, to change your view of who AREMA is and how AREMA has changed the trajectory of many railway careers over its 100 plus year history. Welcome to Platform Chats with your host, Walt Blesser, where he takes a moment to discuss the impacts AREMA has had on the very people who are proud to be called members. Are you ready to roll with AREMA?
ARE Corporation is a proud supporter of AREMA and Platform Chats. If you are looking to take your railway structures career to the next level, or simply start it down the right track, please visit us at arecorp.com. Please see our brand new job postings on our careers page or on our LinkedIn page.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to a brand new year's worth of Platform Chats. We are kicking off 2024, rightfully so, by dropping a episode in the first week or so of the month of the new year. This is because of my absolute lack of putting out content in 2023 and starting every podcast with an excuse as to why I wasn't getting content out. So here, my resolution going into the new year is to try to get you guys as much content as possible. I'm shooting for 10 to 12 episodes. Let's see what happens. If we could get one a month, that would be awesome. But it's got to be better than I think we dropped 7 or 8 in 2023. Now, that said, the ones we did drop in 2023 must have been very good and very effective because, believe it or not, I received word from AREMA World Headquarters, who tracks our statistics, that the Platform Chats podcast has moved into the top 10 podcasts globally. Railway podcasts globally. It is officially number 9 on the list. And if you've been listening to this podcast for a while, we were way in the cellar of that list, and we have slowly been climbing up the rungs into the 20s and then the teens, and now we're in the top 10. So if we can get the content out, who knows what's ahead of us in the world of podcast rankings, which I'm sure all of you are closely tracking railway industry podcast rankings. Yes, that's a hot category. All right, let's move right along here. We are going to kick this year off by talking about the first ever sustainability and resiliency symposium. Our team has been working hard on this. We have an actual committee that's behind this that is made up of people from Committees 24, which is an education committee, as well as 13, which is our environmental committee. This is a first of its kind for AREMA. I know that the leadership of AREMA 1 to 2 years ago, I believe, recognized this as a weakness in our organization, something we needed to work on. Something that we as an organization need to recognize that, hey, this is, I wouldn't say this is coming. I would say this is here and we need to embrace it. And how can we infiltrate all of the different functional groups all the way down to the committees to think and design and just have top of mind sustainability and resiliency when they're working on maintenance of way projects, which is what we do here. So they put together this, the symposium that's coming up in Tampa, Florida. There is still time to register. And I wanted to bring on a couple of, the co-chairs of the organizing committee to talk about it and to really get you guys excited that if you have signed up already, great. That'll make you more excited. And if you have not, maybe this is enough to help you tip the old scales towards clicking that button to signing up. So long introduction. I understand that. But again, this is the first one of the year. We want to make it good. And without further ado, I do want to just jump right in and grab or introduce my two guests. Like I said, I have two guests. We're going to start with Ned Bagnuski. Ned is a transportation sustainability leader and a senior rail engineer at HDR. He's based in Omaha, Nebraska. He is formerly with Committee 24, currently on Committee 13, and the co-chair of AREMA's Sustainability and Resiliency Symposium. In addition to Ned, I also have Leo Thorbeck. That name might be familiar to you because he was one of my colorful and entertaining guests that I had back, this was probably spring of 22 at this point, to talk about Committee 13 when they were doing their request for membership, which actually, I believe, actually worked for him. Leo's great. We're glad to have him back on the show as well. So, Ned, if we could start with you, just give a brief background on who you are and how in the world you are in the seat that you're in.
All right, thanks. Well, I'm Ned Bagnuski, and I work for HDR, and as you mentioned, I'm a transportation sustainability leader there, and also have been working the freight rail industry for probably the last 15 years. I started off in highway design in our Bellevue, Washington office, and kind of fell into the freight rail industry when I decided to move back to the Midwest, where I originally grew up, so got into the freight rail industry and haven't looked back, and have worked on a lot of freight rail capacity projects, and have now more recently gotten into sustainability. And that's what kind of helped me get into AREMA Committee 13, the environmental committee. And I'm the incoming secretary for Committee 13. So I'm looking forward to beginning that new adventure and getting more involved. And that also helped me get into the planning of this Sustainability and Resiliency Symposium. So, as you mentioned, Leo and I, as well as Ashley Pate with TransSystems, are kind of the co-chairs of the organizing committee for the symposium. And we've been planning it over probably the last year and a half. And we're excited that it's finally, incoming and impending in February here.
Cool. And welcome to the show, and appreciate you taking the time to sit down with us. Leo, why don't you just let our listeners know who you are the same way Ned did, because I guarantee you there's some out there that didn't hear your previous podcast.
Pardon me. Well, thank you, Walt. Thank you, Ned. It's an honor and a privilege to be part of this podcast kicking off the new year. Leo Thorbeck, I'm Vice President of Environmental Programs in the Transportation Sector for TRC. I started off in the railroads, no pun intended, kind of by accident about 30 plus years ago. I was working out of college with an environmental consulting firm, got called in to work on a derailment, and really saw the activities associated with teamwork, with all the consultants working and with the common goal of getting the train back going and cleaning up. So was just really impressed with the dynamic atmosphere and associated with working with railroads, and decided, what the heck, let's focus on it. So it's been an exciting 30 plus years, and I've worked really with the rail industry that whole time. So I sit in beautiful Bloomington, Indiana, centrally located, and excited to kind of kick this off.
And you were the former chair of 13? Is that correct?
Yes, I was. I think I've about 23 years active with AREMA, and was honored to be, fit the role of secretary, ascend up to be chair. So that was an exciting time.
Excellent.
And now Ned's in that same role. So
Excellent. And since our podcast, which we were talking a lot about trying to grow numbers for 13, did you see an increase in numbers, or have you had increased participation?
Really, I would say, under the leadership of Kerry Harris, who took the gavel from me, our membership has more than doubled. So I think
Wow. Right now
there's a buzz. ARIMA Committee 13 is the committee to be a member of.
That's amazing. More than doubled. So would you say that the membership doubled because of the podcast? And why would you say that is the real reason?
I would say it's all attributable well, to that previous podcast that kind of set the tone. I think that did not hurt, but let's just say it was really, the engagement of the committee members, getting more participation from the railroad community too, which really helped accelerate the growth of Committee 13.
That's awesome. And I know Carrie's somewhere listening to this and she just chuckled. So I take full credit for that chuckle. And this is the point I'm making here, and where I'm going with this is I'm going to go out on a limb here and say most of our committees at ARIMA probably have not doubled in size in the last 2 years. Okay. I would say a lot of us are, a lot of the committees have been holding steady. Some have seen a influx of young people. Some have seen a number of people retire. So my point being, there's a lot of excitement and there's a lot of attention being shown to the environmental committees and sustainability and resiliency. These are call them buzzwords, call them what you want. The reality is it's here and it's a part of our industry. So obviously that's what led to this symposium. And maybe the first question I'll ask the two of you, and either of you can take it, and both of you can take it if you want, is why is sustainability and resiliency important to the railroad industry at large?
Yeah, I can take a stab at that. I've been working with sustainability and resiliency since about 2015 and trying to have conversations with railroads, and there's always been interest. But really now that we're here in 2023, the momentum is really building. Every class one railroad has climate related emissions reductions goals. They're looking to electrify their locomotives and electrify their equipment as much as possible. And I think just global events like climate change and, the depletion of resources is making everyone kind of wake up to the fact that we need to start treating our planet in a little better way, and treating the people that work for the railroads and all of that in a way that's sustainable and makes for better thriving communities and in economics. And, I think that's also attributed to the growth in Committee 13. The railroads are growing in their sustainability departments, and that's also the growth we've seen with Committee 13. There's more excitement, there's more involvement and more engagement with sustainability.
Leo, you want to pile on to that?
Yeah, I'll pile on to that and just kind of reinforce. I mean, the North American rail community and transit organizations have really embedding sustainability for quite some time, looking to reduce their carbon footprint. And I think, part of the game changers, there's more transparency now, more accountability as far as, stakeholders, the investment community, a lot of drivers there. So, the future is really embedding sustainability and resiliency into every aspect of how rail companies do business. And it's exciting that, with ARIMA's mission, as far as recommending practices pertaining to, design, construction, and maintenance way that, this is a great forum to address it. And I think, really having the sustainability resiliency summit, the first one, ARIMA sponsoring, is a great way to showcase some of those successes. So.
Perfect. Yeah. I've been lucky enough to, number one, I'm just going to tell you guys right now, sustainability and resiliency is not in my, my wheelhouse. It's not my bellwether. It is somewhat foreign to me and what I've done that for a job in my life, my career. However, I've been lucky enough to moderate a couple panels now in the last 2 years at the conference, and we've been talking mostly about locomotive and power supply to the locomotives that are pulling the trains, etc. So the first year, I think we talked a lot about going from diesel locomotives to battery operated locomotives. And the second year, we talked a lot about hydrogen. And in both of those panels, it was pointed out by both panelists and those in the crowd that, hey, we're like probably one of the most environmentally friendly modes of transportation in the industry, period, compared to trucks or airplanes. Why are we trying to, is it all about the electromotive power, or is it more than that? And I feel like the environmental, the sustainability and resiliency is more than just the engines. Would someone like to kind of take that and run with it and expand on why it's not just about the locomotives themselves?
Yeah. So in sustainability, there's kind of a three-pronged approach, triple bottom line. So part of that is the environmental stuff that we've been talking about. But there's also the social aspect. How are we operating in the communities through which railroads operate? And then also the economics of it. You want to make sure that you're getting the best value for your dollar with every investment. So, there may be more of an upfront cost with some sustainable strategies, but typically when you do the life cycle analysis, the total cost of ownership is reduced when you start implementing sustainable strategies through reduced maintenance or reduced operational costs.
Sure.
Leo?
I would add to that. I mean, it's the industry itself. Where are we pivoting to? That will be done by most likely all the railroads will. Is it going to be hydrogen? Is it going to be battery? It's not going to be each one doing their own thing. That's the big game there. But it's a patchwork quilt. There's so many, what Ned had spoken about. There's so many aspects that are woven into this that will help meet the goals, exceed the goals. And it's more than just the locomotive itself, although that's the big tick.
Sure. But I do like what Ned said about total cost of ownership. I think specifically for our industry, where the owners own they own everything, right? They own all the infrastructure. They own every piece of ballast, every tie, every rail, every bridge. They're out there maintaining all of it in addition to the rolling stock. It seems to make good business sense, right? Because when they're doing a project, any project, when we design bridges, these are 100-year designs, right? Our bridges in this country are well over 100 years old, and some of them are hitting midlife. So it's a different perspective, I think, than an industry and or commercial, correct me if I'm wrong here, but I feel like the average consumer these days is very much adopted I'm going to buy something, use it for as long as I can, throw it out, and then I'm going to buy something new, which is unfortunate. So I really like that piece of it, and that kind of leads me to some of the papers we're probably going to see at the symposium. By definition, a symposium is basically people submitted abstracts, I assume, to you guys. How many abstracts did you receive, roughly?
Well, over 60.
Yeah, it was between 60 and 70. So
cool. And it's not just from Committee 13, right? These were coming from
everybody. Not at all. Right. It was a broad outreach, and the response was broad. So it obviously Committee 13 did a lot to reach out to the members and try to carry the message out, but the response was overwhelming. We had a great diversity of resiliency and sustainability topics addressed.
So over 60 were submitted. How many were selected? Do we have an idea?
I think it was, we had 19 slots. for presentations. And I was really impressed with all of the abstracts. So making the decision on where to cut when you've got over 60 to get down to 19 was really difficult. So we really appreciated everybody that took the time to submit the abstracts. And hopefully, you know, the those that weren't selected will have another chance to present at the AREMA conference or another sustainability and resiliency symposium, because there's a lot of great content out there.
And, yeah, and at next year's conference too. So
right.
Yeah, so, I know we just, let's see, in the month of December, we received well over 200 abstracts for the AREMA conference in 2024. And I believe historically we've received 140 to 150. So what's happening with that is, and why that's relevant to this conversation is we're getting so much interest. We just don't have enough time at the big conference to showcase everything. There's a lot of good stuff that's hitting the cutting floor. And I think that we're going to start seeing more symposiums that might be focused on areas. There might be a structures symposium. There might be a P&T symposium. I don't know. So this is no pressure, guys, but you are one of the first ones to give this a shot to see how these go, to supplement or the annual conference. So walk me through what this thing looks like. Where is it located, and what day is it in Tampa?
Yes, it is. It's in Tampa, and we actually kick off the first day with an optional field trip with TECO, Tampa Electric Company. They do have a manatee viewing center as well as a conservation campus there. So that will be an optional trip that we'll go there. Have TECO representatives talk about their sustainability commitment, talk about the campus itself that has an aquarium, a manatee viewings area, a number of different kind of ecologically organized events there. So that's the Monday.
So that's Monday, February 5th.
Correct.
And so people will people be flying in that morning, or will they have to come in on the evening of the 4th?
Well, I would imagine come in the night before, because we're planning on leaving the hotel about 9 o'clock in the morning to get to the TECO campus down there, the conservation center.
Cool. Okay. So, you're kicking it off bright and early Monday morning. And so Monday will be the field trip. When you get back, is that all that's going on Monday?
Yes, that's going to be until about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and then transport back to the hotel.
Perfect. Okay. Is there any events Monday night?
Yeah, there will be a welcome reception on Monday evening from 6 to 7:30 at the hotel hosting the symposium.
Perfect. Okay. So if some folks didn't, maybe the field trip wasn't in the cards, they could come in on Monday the 5th and still make the welcome reception that evening. And then on Tuesday the 6th, I assume that's when we're going to be kicking off presentations at say what time in the morning? 8?
Yeah. So the welcome and introduction begins at 8 a.m. on Tuesday morning. And after that, we'll have a keynote address and then start getting into the various panels and presentations for the day.
So cool. Is the keynote speaker a secret, or is that out?
So the first morning, the keynote speaker is still kind of under wraps. We're keeping our efforts out there to find the best presenter right now. But the welcome and introduction will be done by Trent Hudak, who is the former president of AREMA, and really kind of the idea behind the symposium, I believe, originated from him. So exciting to have him there and kicking everything off.
Okay, cool. And so those will go throughout the day on February 6th. And then I'm assuming you'll wrap up sometime in the afternoon. Is there an event on the evening of the 6th?
Yeah, so on Monday, February 5th, we have presentations all the way till 5 p.m. So it'll be a full day of sustainability and resiliency talks. So looking forward to that. At this point, we don't have any organized events in the evening, but looking into Wednesday, it's going to be another full day of discussions and presentations.
Oh, really? Okay, so it's two days of presentations. And on Wednesday, are you guys kicking off on the 7th? Are you kicking off early in the morning again, 8 o'clock?
Yeah, we're kicking off at 8:30, and we do have four panels that are between the Tuesday and Wednesday. So we do kick off with a resiliency panel at 8:30 on Wednesday the 7th.
Okay, great. And that's also going to go out through the afternoon as well?
Correct.
Perfect. Wow, that's pretty packed schedule. Lots of presentations. And so sounds like you got some keynote speakers. Trent's going to talk. And you said, are there some panel discussions as well? Is that what I heard?
Yes, we do. We have a freight panel, a transit panel, resiliency and sustainability. So,
wow. So that's pretty cool.
Trying,
so
trying to address the full gamut of representation of AREMA.
Okay, that's fantastic. And then, so that would be the end of the symposium. People can check out of their hotels, fly home the 7th and or the 8th, correct? There's nothing that evening?
That's right.
No,
okay. Conclude 4:30 and closing remarks with Trent from 4:30 to 5. So that's a wrap. I'm sure there'll be some folks that want to extend their stay because it is Tampa. It is February. Mm-hmm. And typically a little bit warmer than where half of us live.
Yeah, I was going to say that. I think you're going to find that some folks are probably going to even stay through the weekend. It's a nice time to be. Nice time to be in Tampa. Good excuse to go. This sounds like a really nicely well-packed symposium and a good test bed to see how symposiums go for AREMA. This is cool. Do we have any idea of how many people have signed up so far, or is that a top secret number? You can tell me it's top secret.
I don't have the latest update from AREMA, from headquarters. I know, put it this way, the last time I heard a couple weeks ago, there was some enthusiasm that the numbers were good. What
good
number? I'm not sure, but.
That's fair. Well, yeah, and I can't let this podcast end without talking pimping a little bit about the fact that we are also very excited in the Structures Functional Group to be tagging on to the work that you guys did setting up the symposium in Tampa and leaving the two days at the end of the week free at the hotel for us to have a first ever. Well, we haven't gotten very creative with the name because it's not really a symposium, but it's a summit, I guess, of all the Structures Functional Group committees. So every single Structures Functional Group committee will be meeting at the same time on February 8th. So we will be having committee meetings of 7, 8, 9, 10, 15, and 28. So that's pretty much all of them. They're all going to be in one room, and we're going to have some panel discussions with the chief bridge engineers of the railroads to talk about why, you know, being a part of these committees is important to them and how the AREMA personnel or the AREMA participants can better interact with the railroad owners. And we're going to have some nice slideshows from the different committees to talk about what they do. And then on Friday the 9th, we're going to have a half day of breakouts where all the committees will go out on their own and do their own meetings. So if anyone's listening and you have any interest in joining one of the structures groups, you can stick around and get a tasting of what those are like. And we'll see how that goes. Our goal here really is to showcase what we do for AREMA. Our goal is to increase membership because, that's the goal here, is to grow our membership base and to see how people can get involved, give people opportunities to see something, go, hey, that sounds pretty cool. And frankly, there's going to be a nice presentation from one of the committees about how sustainability and resiliency is important to the structures group. So it's a nice blend or a tie back to what's going on February 5th, 6th, and 7th. So really exciting for AREMA. I mean, this is I don't know. I love the conference. Don't get me wrong. Every fall, it's great. I sometimes feel like I wish there was more beyond just the committee meetings that we have throughout the year. And I think this is going to be a really cool way to feed that hunger. Full week in Tampa with a kicking it off with this symposium and then having the structures folks close it out the last couple of days. I'm really excited to see how it goes for you guys, how successful it is, because you're setting the bar here. And like I said, if we're getting 200 and something abstracts for the conference and we can only put 20, 25% of those in, that leaves a lot of presentations that are potentially good presentations that aren't being heard. Right. So, and Ned, you said you, I mean, even on for this one, you received, you're only going to use about 20%.
Right. Yep. So only about 19 presentations could be selected for the time we had out of the over 60 that were submitted.
Interesting. That's cool.
Another
well,
thing
I
to add,
go ahead.
Sorry. Ahead of the Sustainability and Resiliency Symposium, it's going to be a busy week for AREMA because there's also the Introduction to Railway Engineering taking place on Saturday, February 3rd and Sunday, February 4th down in Tampa at the same location. So a lot going on that week down in Tampa.
I am really glad you said that because I did not know that. So that's on the weekend?
Yes. Okay. Saturday, February 3rd and Sunday the 4th.
All right. And are the two of you going to be making any kind of cameo appearances during this symposium, or are you going to be hiding in the shadows?
No, we're going to be put to work. Trust me. We've got a couple panels to moderate and, you know, and again, that exciting trip to the Florida Conservation and Technology Center, that's we're working behind the scenes there because that's a 500-acre campus that really showcases, you know, the commitment to environmental stewardship, habitat restoration, and a great way to, you know, to see TECO, Tampa Electric's commitment to sustainability, look at the Florida Aquarium, Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission, and the manatee viewing. So I think we've got a great fun event, educational event planned for that at first, and then really a diverse selection of panels, presentations. We're going to be working.
You guys have planned a really cool event. My hat's off to everyone on this committee to put this together. I trust me, I understand how hard it is just to plan a committee meeting for 25 people to find meeting space. So, you know, to have a large hotel like this with all the meeting rooms and to have an offsite field trip that ties into what you're doing. This is not easy. This is all volunteer work. You know, congrats. This is, I just wish you the best of luck. I really hope this goes well. Ned, anything else you want to add? I'll give you guys the last word here.
Yeah. I'm just really looking forward to it, and I appreciate everybody's time that they've put into it and all of the abstract submissions and panelists. You know, we're going to have leadership there in this is from sustainability departments and most of the Class 1 railroads. So really excited to hear what they have to say. I believe February is also peak manatee viewing time. So for the field trip, as soon as I heard there was manatee viewing, I was like, sign me up. So really looking forward to that as well.
That's a hot take. We got Ned as a Sea Cow fan. Yep. You heard it here first.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, and then we're going to get to work right after planning the second annual Sustainability Resiliency Symposium. So that's our goal.
That's exactly right. Right. You during the Structured Symposium, you will be planning the next SRS25, if you will. Awesome. Well, this was a great way to kick off the new year. Thank you both for taking the time to sit down with me today. I really appreciate it. I know that the listeners appreciate it, and I hope to see many of you in Tampa in February. All right, everybody, take care.
Thank you for rolling with AREMA on today's episode of Platform Chats. For further information about AREMA, please visit arema.org or contact us at info@arema.org.